What's up? It's your boy Vibes Vibrate, because I'm always bringing you the good vibes, and you're tuned in to and 5678, the podcast where we talk about everything dance industry related beyond the steps. 5678.
You're tuned into and 5678, the podcast with Vibes by Bray, only on YouTube, broadcasted by Riverside.fm.
On today's episode, I am sitting with the one and only Naima McGowan. Y'all give it up for Nana.
Period.
Well, first of all, I'm just going to say, Naima, you are literally one of the female goats in the dance industry. But yeah. I'm not going to take away from your moment. I'm going to let you go ahead and introduce yourself and, you know, let everybody know a little bit about yourself.
Oh, you're so sweet. Thank you so much for having me. My name is Naima McGowan, aka Nana, aka the Nana. Yes, so I'm a professional trained dancer. Live from St. Louis, Missouri. Came to Atlanta with a dream. You know, I hustle hard, got to where I can get to, you know, and just worked hard and just celebrating every step that I go. So yeah, I'm here.
Let's see. Okay. So from St. Louis to Atlanta, how was that transition and what made you make that jump?
So initially, I was in St. Louis. We were training day and night, night and day with Red Anthony Williams.
Okay.
And from there, I got my first tour at A. Marie when I was 17 years old, right out of high school. So I was like, ooh, I actually love this. Like, I was like, literally going overseas. We were performing in award shows. So that was my first big gig by Jamaica Craft.
Okay.
And she has been blessing me throughout my whole career. And I just love her so much. That's Mama J, period. And so from that tour, I got on Sesame Street Elmo's Green Thumb tour. Now that tour, it tours from 11 months out of the year. So with that being said, I stacked my money. I think I did that tour for 3.5 years. It was a long 3.5, but it was fun because I was, you know, still young. I was touring. I was, you know, getting to know new people, new friends. House of Shade, shout out. That's my crew from this tour. And I was actually in the costume. Like, I was Elmo, Abby-Kadabby, Zoe. Yeah, so I was live performance in costume, and it was a fun situation. So from there, I was like, okay, I'm ready to be seen. I'm ready to get up out the costume. I'm ready to put my dance and my skill level and all the things I've been working for to, you know, to life. So my brother lived in Atlanta. He told me to come on through. And since then, it's just been an amazing journey.
Now, starting at such a young age, in a sense, were you homesick at all? How was that for you?
Well, I think I definitely had my times when I was homesick, and I would try to make sure I come home like on my breaks as much as possible. But I was really enjoying like the moments. Like, I was really living in the moments. Like, I still love touring to this day. I think I, you know, grabbed love for it when I first went on the road and getting adjusted to not being at home. But I think the, you know, going day by day, being in a new city, being in new hotel rooms, you know, I really love that feeling. So I want to tour the rest of my life.
Yes, I love that. So how would you say your support system from your family was during that time?
Oh, my family was so supportive. Like, they would come out to my shows, you know, they would check on me, you know, every week, you know, just to see where my mental is. Mm-hmm. They support me through everything. My mom was my biggest supporter. She's been my biggest supporter since I was young, you know, being able to carpool with the kids to take us to different shows and, you know, performances, and being right there with me every step of my way, whatever it is. She's such a great support, and I still love her. I mean, I still love her. I love her like tremendously because she's still like one of my big supporters right now.
Exactly. So, and you've been in Atlanta for how long now?
Wow. I feel like I've been in Atlanta for about 13, 14 years. It's like the time just went by so fast. It was like, whoa. But now I'm currently in Las Vegas.
Okay.
So I switched it up a little bit, you know, just trying to see a new vibe, a new energy. So yeah, I'm in Vegas, baby. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So with you being in Atlanta, how would you say the dance industry changed in your tenure of being in Atlanta?
I just feel like social media has been a big change of the community. I feel like that really put a stamp on people, talent, And I feel like that really, like, if you are a good social media presence and you got your numbers up, like, they will look towards that person than a person that has talent, you know. And some, I think that has changed a little bit. Like, you know, I know it's a great platform and we all use it, of course. So, you know, not hating, but I think that that has made a big change and people not really training and understanding, like, you really gotta just take the classes. Like, there's no way around it. So I think that my generation, like, we literally would train night and day, day and night. Like, it was like we knew it was going to be given to us, so we worked hard for it. And I think that that's what could be missing a little bit. So
I agree with that. I would say that it created a sense of laziness and people taking, like, the easy way out, thinking that, you know, that it's just social media. Because even I've been in Atlanta for 10 years, and even with me being there, I've seen a difference in, like, the training aspect. I remember the Gotta Dance days. Those were literally my favorite. That's when people were training.
ATLA days, the Gotta Dance days, the dance hall ones. Like, we were, like, really going off and popping. Like, it was an amazing time. Like, yes. I just walked into an amazingness. Like, you know, so I'm blessed with those times.
So, speaking of training, when you moved to Atlanta, can you walk us through what your specific training looked like?
Yeah, so when I first came to Atlanta, I think I ran into Bria randomly. We were hanging out, Bria Wood, shout out to Bria Wood. And she was like, she liked my style. She was like, you should come to the studio, you know, and we'd be dancing. I'm like, yeah, I'm trying to find, you know, where to go for. So I went up there. I think I took a class and I loved it. And then from there, I wanted to get more involved. So I got a dance pass. Back then it was like $100, so you can take dance unlimitedly. So I got that dance class, and from there I just stayed at that studio. I kind of got the understanding of what's going on, like the style and the presence and how you show up and how you give and the different swag. So I just kind of like adjusted and adapted to that, and then from there I just, that's really all it is, just the training and being around and being present. And from there your you know, your talent get around the studio, and then they start submitting you for different projects or asking you to come to different rehearsals. Like Sean Bankhead, you know, he gave me my first opportunity, like, a, you know, those dance viral videos that he were doing back in the day. He asked me to do one for Beyonce, and I loved it. Like, that was, like, one of the best times of my life. Like, so I'm just, the understanding of just training and being present, I think that's where it all just come down to.
Yes, absolutely. And just listening to you say that, it also seems like you were able to build a network, because people are missing that as well. Like, making sure that you are networking with other dancers, because it's bigger than just the talent. Yes, it's good to have the talent, but you have to have the knowledge and the network behind it as well. So that's pretty dope.
Thank you.
So what else in Atlanta have you done? Have you done like any teaching?
Well, yeah, I teach a lot. I teach at, used to teach at Dance School One. We had a class there. I teach at Creative Spaces. Shout out to Creative Spaces. I teach at Excel. So you just got to catch me on the pop-up classes and the pop-up moments. And I do love teaching. I love giving back. I love teaching the kids. So I'm starting to get more into that as well.
Okay. What is your favorite thing about teaching?
Oh, I love to see a student just gradually come from where they started from and where they can go, and with my teaching to see if it's actually helping and the progress behind it. So it was like, once I see that they had, you know, understand some movement and they got it in their mind and they understand the swag behind it and the energy and the intent, I'm like, yes. Like, regardless if they mess up, it's just still feel a good feeling to see that they're taking something from me and they put it inside their body and their movement, and they're regurgitating it, and it's looking great.
Yes, I love that so much. Yes. So I did hear you mention earlier that you are in Vegas right now. Mm-hmm. Now, what made that move? What made you take that leap of faith?
Yes, so shout out to Josh Smith, my homie. You all know Josh. He had hit me up, and he was asking me about a role, a DJ role, for this Illuminate. This is a light show that he has choreographed for over years. And he hit me up and said, you know, I think you would be dope for this role. It's a DJ role, and you just had a like swag, 90s feel. So I was like, okay. He actually called me like the day before my birthday about it. So I was like, okay, cool. Let me check it out. And the audition was the day of my birthday. So I rehearsed my lines, and, you know, I had the audition online with the directors, and from there, I was like, okay, cool. I was just, you know, open to try something different. And I had, it was a residency. So I would have had to move to Vegas, which they, you know, took care of my stay for a couple of months. And I was like, well, let's go to Vegas. Why not?
Why not, right?
That's what we're doing. Yes, we got a show in Vegas, a residency. Let's go. So from there, I really enjoy my cast. I really enjoy the weather. I enjoy, like, the vibe in Vegas. I know it's a different scenery. It's a different energy. So I was like, you know, let's just see what happens for a year, you know, just see what we can plant seeds in this area. Let's see what we can do. So, yeah, I'm in Vegas and I'm loving it.
Yes, that's a beautiful thing. And it's so nice to hear that you, like, took that leap of faith to do something different, because sometimes we get in our own way and we get afraid because sometimes we get too comfortable with what we're mm-hmm. already doing. So that's yeah. good to hear that you definitely went out on a limb and did something new. So, yeah, thanks for sharing that.
No problem. I think I'm always just taking a leap of faith with everything that I do. Like, it's not anything that I'm ever, like, 100% about, but it's just, like, I know that if this is the opportunity for me and it makes sense, like, just go for it. Don't hesitate yourself and your thoughts, you know. Don't be so logical. You know, God has always got your back, and he's always going to be on your side. So I think taking leaps of faith, if it makes sense, do it.
Exactly. Definitely second that. Can you share, like, some artists that you may have worked with? For those who aren't familiar with who you are, can you share, like, some artists that you've worked with?
Yes, of course. I've worked with Beyonce with the Super Bowl. I did that. That was amazing. Usher, You Are X Experience tour. That was, like, the pinnacle of my career. I love that tour. It still holds weight with my heart. I've worked with Missy Elliott. Love. Shout out to Missy. Omarion. Which I have a song with Omarion. I toured with Omarion with the Millennium Tour, and now we have a song together called Candy. I'll go check that out on iTunes. So, yeah, so I've worked with a lot of good, you know, amazing artists in my career, and my just building that legacy is just amazing.
Yes, absolutely. Speaking of legacy, what would you like your legacy as a dancer choreographer to be?
Oh, I want my legacy as a dancer choreographer to be, like, inspirational to the next person, to know that they can do whatever that they put their mind to. I want to leave, like, my swag, want to leave my stamp, and being like, when you see me, you know what that's Nana. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Oh, that's influenced by Nana. Like, I'm a hard-hitting, with soft, feminine woman when I dance. So it's a different type of movement than what we have nowadays consistently. It's not more so, you know, I love twerking, but it's not also that. It's more so lines. It's more so full out energy, energetic. It's swag. So I just want to put that imprint in this community for sure.
Yes, absolutely. And let me be the first to say, I think that you're doing a great job. So
thank
kudos
you.
To
I
that.
Appreciate that.
All right. So before we get into our segment, I do want to take a minute to shout out my sponsor. So each and every episode, I do wear custom pieces from Kadeco Streetwear for Dances. Today, I'm rocking my Quiet On Set hoodie. It's very comfortable. Kadeco is very comfortable streetwear for dancers. They have hoodies, shirts, jackets, and you can visit the website and get 10% off your order of $25 or more. Make sure y'all check them out. Also, follow them on Instagram at Kada_Co. So now, Nana, it is time for us to get into our segment of the day. This is where the curtains close and the spotlights turn off. Let's get to the point. All righty. So for today, we did mention earlier that you're also an artist. So I wanted to talk to you about your journey from the dance floor to microphones.
Yeah.
So what inspired you to pursue a career in music?
I've always loved music. I've always, when I was younger, be in my room, you know, performing the songs, you know, having a whole concert by myself, you know, writing music with my friends. Like, I've always had some connection to wanting to perform my own music as I was young, and I've always felt that. So as I got older, I started to just realize that maybe I could, you know, do this, you know, and got a group with my friend Aja. We started a group together when we was here in Atlanta, and called Matt Black. And from there, it was from Johnny and China, We Entertain. They cultivated us to be more than just a dancer. Faith said, what other talents and energies do you think that you can bring to the table? And once that connected, I was like, you know what? I've always wanted to be an artist. So they had studios and they get studios for free. And people that were around were writers. So, you know, they helped us to cultivate that dream. And from there, I just connected with different artists. And my sister, she's also an artist as well. So it was just like kind of just floating my way and the opportunity. So I was just like, let me just take a stab at it and let me just move for it. Another leap of faith.
Yeah. So did that kind of happen simultaneously with dance, or was it like one was before the other?
Well, definitely dance. You know, dance is still prevalent. It's still number one. Mm-hmm. So right now I'm in the transition to, you know, become that artist. But I always want to have my hand on dance as well. So,
exactly.
You know, finding that balance is always great. And so I just feel like just artistry, I'm taking it day by day.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not rushing it, but I also have great music coming soon. I have a song dropping next week or so called All My Love. So please, guys, check that out. It's going to be on all platforms. And yeah, so I'm excited about the future with the music. But yeah, it's just been a gradual situation that I'm just, you know, cultivating and building on.
Okay. So can you share some initial challenges that you faced when you began to pursue music?
Challenges. I feel like more challenges with just always trying to, okay, like I said, dance is prevalent, right? So you get into the studio and you're getting to a groove of coming up and being creative, and then, you know, you call for a job. And then you call for a job and it takes you away from, you know, being active and proactive with the music. So that was definitely a challenge, but I always knew I had to go get my money. Mm-hmm. So I can fund my career. So that was definitely a challenge. And now that I am in a transition, I have more time to really focus on cultivating that music side.
Okay. How would you say that your dance background helped you like overcome those challenges that you faced?
Dancing, you have to have confidence when you dance. You have to have presence. So I just put that, you know, all into me, whatever I'm showing up to, whatever party or performance, you know, I just want my presence to be shown. So the dance industry and the dance world has helped me to open up my personality to make sure that when I'm in front, I show up and I show out. And that's just the confidence that I have within me.
Yes. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you balance the two? So I wouldn't say they're completely different fields, but you know, you have your dancing and then you have your singing. So how would you find that fine line and that balance between the two talents?
Well, with anything that you want to do, you will make a way. Like if it's something that you're really passionate about, you're going to figure it out how to put your energy into it, schedule out timing, making sure that you find a balance or whatever time that I did had off for my work. I make sure I be in the studio, or I make sure I'm listening to some beats, or I'm doing something that's being proactive on my downtime. So, you know, it's just like a relationship. You're going to find time for whatever it is that you want to build.
And how do you incorporate dance into your performances?
Well, I do choreograph my performances. I definitely put my hand all in it because I know what I want to see visually come from myself. You know, I have assistants, but I definitely put that and put who I would want to be as a dancer into the artistry, and I just mix the two together.
Okay. So what about, let's talk about like some memorable moments that helped your singing career.
Well, I was on tour with Omarion, with the Millennium Tour, and throughout the whole tour, So when I got on tour with Omarion, I was already booked for a show in St. Louis, Missouri, and so when I got on tour, I was like, will we go to St. Louis? Can I change the date, and I possibly perform in St. Louis the same time I was there performing with the Millennium Tour?
Okay.
So, got that together, they agreed with that. So having conversations with Omarion, he was like, so what else do you do? Nana, like, what else you into? So I told him I had this show coming up in St. Louis. And we were like, okay, cool. I'll come and I'll pull up to it. You know, I said, come support you. And I was like, oh, for real?
Yeah.
So yeah, he came through with the tour bus with all the dancers and everybody from, you know, that supported me from that tour. And they were there while I was performing. And that felt so good for that support. system to, you know, for him to take his time out to come and, you know, support me. So that was definitely like one of the most memorable moments. And then following from that particular show, the last show we had in Vegas, I was asked by one of the cast and the crew, did I want to perform? And I was like, are you serious? Because he came to my show. Yeah. So I was like, what? Okay. Let me see if I can make this work. Literally the day of. So I flew in the dancers that were in St. Louis that same day. Literally, they ran to the show and we performed, or we practiced backstage real quick. Because, like, mind you, we just had a show in St. Louis like 2 weeks ago.
Right.
So we already had the show ready to go. So they pulled up. We rehearsed and we did the performance at the Millennium Tour.
Yes.
In Las Vegas, Missouri. I was an opening act. And that was like one of the best moments in my life and my cast. And they came through and they supported me and they screamed and yelled. And it was like the best moment. And I looked so pretty. It was a nice moment. Yeah.
Yes, that's so dope. And that definitely goes back to speaking about building your network and people that's gonna support you. Like, that goes a very long way, and I'm glad that you were able to have that, especially from Omarion basically being your boss and they're giving you that opportunity to shine outside of dance. That's just a beautiful thing. That's dope. I like that.
Thank you.
No problem. So are there any projects or collaborations that you can talk about that you're excited about?
Well, I do, like I said, have my artist who's performing Friday at the Bonfire. I'm working with her, getting her show together. I choreographed the whole thing. So it's going to be an amazing performance. I'm excited to be working with her. Her name is Ariel. She has a new song called Pop It. Y'all go check it out. Currently, I will be on tour with Omarion. I'm not sure of the dates yet, but we're definitely going to be on tour getting that back running. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we might see a little special performance there. So check it out.
Yes. What are your future goals and aspirations in both dance and music?
Dance. Well, currently I have a dance pants line called Nima Pants. And I want to have like a dance boutique, you know, created to dancers and, you know, just fashion in general. So that's something that actually my pants are out now, you guys. So come DM me right now. I'm going to have a website soon. But if you want to, you know, support, just, you know, reach out and I'll send you a pair of pants, Nima pants. Yes. And in music, I just want to, right now I'm working on getting an EP together. I'm working on showcasing a world of Nana. So I'm really excited about that. So I'm working on that.
Yes, World of Nana. That could be like, you could take that and use that for something. World of Nana.
World of Nana.
Yes. what has been the most significant lesson or lessons that you've learned in your journey?
Lessons I'm learning and lessons that I'm still learning and still fighting for is patience. Patience is a big, big lesson in life.
Absolutely.
And I'm still learning that because I'm such an eager spirit. I want it now, I want to go, I'm ready to go, I'm always on go. So when things doesn't work out as planned, you know, you still have to understand that patience is key and timing is everything. So that is definitely what I can understand, that like, just take your time and when it's the right moment, it will come.
Yes, and do you have any final words or any advice for a dancer who may be interested in pursuing music or something else? Like, what would be your advice for them?
I would just tell them to have like a plan together. Like, I always write out my goals. I always write out my dreams. Whatever it is, I try to get them done. So just make sure that you have like a list of things, of ways that you want to execute it before you just go and have no thought of how to connect it, you know? So just try to really hone in on some timing. So how can I make this work? What can I benefit from this? And what are the goals that you want to come out of these things that you need to ask yourself and really sit down and plan it out.
Yes. All righty. Mm-hmm. Well, Nana, I want to thank you for joining me today. Can you tell everyone where they can find you on social media platforms and your music as well? Because y'all need to check out Candy Paint. Because that song, Candy Paint. But y'all need to check out Candy.
Sure. Yes. Check out Candy. And we have a single, Girls Don't Ride. Check that out. Got the visual out as well on YouTube. But you can find me on Instagram at 991love. That's N-I-E-N-I-E, the number one, L-O-V-E. And check me out on YouTube at Naima MC, N-A-E-E-M-A-H-M-C, period.
Yes, and did you let everybody know where they can find your music?
Oh, you can find my music on Apple. You can find my music on Spotify. You can find my music on YouTube. So check it out under Nana, N-A-H-N-A-H.
Yes, make sure y'all check that out because we love supporting Black businesses, Black artists,
yes.
Black dancers. We do all of that around here, right?
I love that. Thank you.
No problem.
I got some pants coming for you, too. I'm going to send them. Send me your Addy.
Okay, yes, I got you. All right, well, yes. Everybody, this concludes this episode of N5678, the podcast. It's your boy, Vibes by Bray. Make sure you follow me on all social media platforms at Vibes by Bray and stay updated on all of our latest episodes at N5678, the podcast. This is your daily reminder to always, always, always dance like nobody's watching and love like it's never gonna hurt. Once again, want to shout out Kaytico Streetwear for Dancers, Felicity Digital Lab, and Rager Worldwide LLC. Until next time.
Bye.